Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Question, and good morning, everyone. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is away for the week. She'll be back next week. Question. If there were no private moments for those who would commit genocide, if everything they did was out in the open and could be seen by everyone in the world in a picture that you could switch on and off, in a sense, and put on your own television screen, would it change anything? Many of the murders that we call genocide down through history were committed in broad daylight, but what got it started? Is there a way to prevent genocide by putting the eyes of the world on the people who would commit it? We could be talking about Sudan. We could be talking about Ivory Coast this morning. Well, a partnership between Google Incorporated, the United Nations, Harvard University, and a group led by actor George Clooney has developed a high-tech plan to try and prevent genocide in the Sudan by using geosynced satellites and multimedia information gathered from the ground to deliver to the world a constantly updated image of places like Sudan, where we know what's going on, but to actually see it maybe changes the political equation. Here to discuss this proposition and to take a look at this project and to see if it's viable is Charlie Clements, Director of Human Rights Documentation at Satellite Sentinel Project and Executive Director of Harvard's Carr Center for Human Rights Policy. Charlie Clements, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you, John.
And Andrew Natsios, a professor at Georgetown University in the practice of diplomacy and has a book coming out next year called Sudan and Darfur, What Everyone Needs to Know. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So, Charlie, did I get the proposition right that if we could see what was going on, that the assumption is that genocide would not get started because people won't begin such slaughter out in the open? And can this technological solution actually address that?
Well, I think you got part of it right. That is that we think that it's less likely to happen. We also want the potential perpetrators to know that what they do will be documented, that they may be held accountable in international fora such as the International Criminal Court. And we also hope to mobilize the public because, for instance, in Rwanda, President Clinton was aware of what was going on, but there was no groundswell of public pressure to force him to act, and so he didn't. And so we think that public policy leaders may act if there's public pressure for them to do so, more likely.
Now, in media history, certainly public pressure generated from images of starving in the Horn of Africa, particularly pictures broadcast by NBC News back in the 1980s, I believe, certainly caused a mobilization that changed things. But is there much of a track record for the issue of a genocide in the fact of a groundswell mobilizing political action? Charlie Clements.
Not yet. This is the first time that this combination of technologies has been used to try to deter violence. These kinds of technologies were used in Haiti to see where refugees were flowing, to find out where aid was, to try to put refugees with humanitarian assistance together. But it hasn't been used to try to deter violence yet.
Andrew Natsios, a professor at Georgetown University, is this a tool to aid diplomacy or is it an alternative to diplomacy altogether?
Well, I don't think it's an alternative. Actually, we did something like this in 2004 during the atrocities in Darfur. I asked President Bush and Colin Powell, I was the head of USAID then, our foreign aid agency, to use the U.S. government's defense and CIA spy satellites, the Geospatial Agency, to photograph what was going on the ground in Darfur. And they immediately approved it, and it was done. And we released photographs of what was happening in June of 2004 in the middle of the atrocities at a international forum at which 20 senior members of the Sudanese government was present in Geneva, Switzerland. I led the U.S. delegation. And the president approved this to be declassified and made public. And we told them we were watching what they were doing, and there would be consequences. Now, there are diplomatic consequences. There were more sanctions put in place and that sort of thing. It did not, however, stop what was going on.
Right.
I have to just say that, because the people in Khartoum don't do this just for fun. They do this because they feel threatened, or they wouldn't do it. I mean, why would anyone go around murdering people unless they were afraid themselves? And the fear now is that if the country destabilizes Sudan between now and the referendum on southern independence, which takes place January 9th.
Right.
Or in the aftermath of it, there could be destabilization of the country and there could be ethnic violence. Now, that's a real risk. I don't think it's a high risk, but it's a risk. It's not bad that this project is going on. I think it's a good idea. But if chaos ensues, I don't actually think that the problem is going to be the government in an orchestrated way trying to massacre a particular population. It is that there'll be anarchy and groups that hate each other may start murdering each other. I don't know if this will act as a big enough restraint. It's not a bad idea. It could help, and I certainly think they should go ahead with it, but I'm not sure outsiders are going to have that much control.
Understood. Andrew Natsios is professor at Georgetown University in the practice of diplomacy. Charlie Clements, a response there, and is there the danger that we all become desensitized to the idea of killing and that these images eventually cause us to just turn the pictures off?
Well, we're not going to have that level of photograph with the kind of imagery we have that you could identify individual persons, but we can certainly see movement of people. So, you know, I think Andrew will agree that in 2004, 2005, sometimes we had 20,000 people show up suddenly on the border of Chad fleeing from the violence in Darfur. Many of those died before any supplies could even get there because humanitarian agencies were not prepared. There were not supplies in place. There were not workers in place. Minimally, we can help reduce mortality with this set of technologies. We can be prepared better when we see large groups of refugees fleeing. So I think it's worth giving this a try and trying to prevent as much violence as possible. And if we can't prevent it, we can document it and we can mitigate some of the consequences of it.
And the celebrity angle here, George Clooney is involved in this. Does that help with the groundswell of support, or is this just something for his resume?
Well, George Clooney and Don Cheadle and Brad Pitt have put up a large part of the money for this. They have raised the money. They've been very helpful. They bring attention to this issue, so I think that they're certainly a huge asset.
And Andrew Natsios, what would you look for in next year in Sudan for a sign that a policy like this could actually be helpful?
I think this is a very good idea if it's going to help humanitarian agencies see population movements. That could be very useful, and it would save lives because we would know where people are
and when to intervene.
Which was hard to do before.
Right, exactly. Andrew Natsios, professor at Georgetown University in the practice of diplomacy. His book coming out next year is called Sudan and Darfur, What Everyone Needs to Know. And Charlie Clements, helping us to understand this satellite program. He's director of human rights documentation at the Satellite Sentinel Project and executive director of Harvard's Carr Center for Human Rights Policy. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, John.